This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Straight Fire, Jason McIntyre. Tuesday, March 23rd, a fun Monday of college basketball. I hope you guys did what I did. Basically, plop down on the couch around 9 a.m. Pacific and then plant yourself in front of the TV the entire day, devouring what turned out to be a lot of bad college basketball games. One game decided by single digits. We'll dive in a little deeper in a moment. I do want to set it up, though. A little later in the podcast, Rob G keeps telling me that there are some interesting trade rumors swirling in the NBA. Apparently, Aaron Gordon is saying, get me the hell out of Orlando. Whoever wants to get out of Orlando? I mean, goodness gracious, isn't Orlando the Waffle House capital of America? The strip mall capital of the United States? Who would want to leave sunny Orlando? I've got a lot of relatives in Orlando. Beautiful city, just not in the summer. But we'll get to the NBA in a minute. I have to start with the NCAA tournament. And, you know, one number basically is the driving force behind what I'm about to say. And that number is 9-1, because that is what the Pac-12 is through the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. A staggering number. 16 teams are left. Four of them are from the Pac-12. That's unheard of. The Pac-12 is usually a laughingstock come March. They rarely do damage. I don't think a team west of the Mississippi has won a title in like the last 15, 20 years. You might have to go all the way back to Arizona in the late 90s. Gonzaga could break that streak this year, but they're not in the Pac-12. What is driving the Pac-12 to complete and utter dominance? Oregon just stomping out a plodding, slow Iowa team. USC handing Kansas its worst college basketball postseason loss ever. Ever. USC! What the hell's going on here? Now, I will say, let me take the time to pat myself on the back. Hope I don't pull a shoulder muscle. So, Fox Sports has me picking every single game of the NCAA tournament against the spread. Folks, your boy went 7-1 against the spread on Monday. And if you remember, I talked last week on the podcast about I was in a Calcutta, big money, and I started bidding on a bunch of Pac-12 teams. And the guy who's hosting it, the guy Jeff Ma, who was the impetus behind that movie 21, the movie where the college kids go out to Vegas and gamble and count cards, blah, blah, blah. Jeff Ma is taking shots at me. Oh, Jason McIntyre, a little West Coast bias now that you're in California. Because I was bidding on Oregon and USC and UCLA. Now, I didn't end up getting those teams because I was outbid. But I'm out here in LA watching a lot of college basketball. And throughout the season, you could tell they were building up some good stuff like Oregon State. I mean, listen, they look pretty good at the end of the season. Not incredible, not Sweet 16 worthy, but they're on the rise. And then they make a run in the Pac-12 tournament. But it finally hit me Monday night as I'm recapping where we are in the tournament and how the hell we got to four Pac-12 teams in the Sweet 16. And I guess what is happening is we're at a crossroads for the Blue Bloods. Duke, with 74-year-old Coach K, hasn't won a title since 2015. And that was also the last time they were in the Final Four. Coach K, 74. Roy Williams at North Carolina, right down the road, Tobacco Road. He's 70 years old. He just had his first-round loss in the NCAA tournament. In 2020, if COVID hadn't hit, North Carolina would have missed the tournament, embarrassingly. The year before that, knocked out on the Sweet 16. They got destroyed by Auburn. Year before that, second-round loss to Texas A&M. Roy won a title in 2017, but again, he is now 70 years old. If you watch the makeup of that team, that North Carolina team, it's like, what era are you guys playing in? They got these plotting big men. By the way, one of their best returning players announced on Monday, the 7'1" Mr. Basketball from the state of Georgia, Walker Kessler. He's transferring. He wants out. And I'm not trying to say, oh, Roy Williams, 70-year-old, fuddy-duddy, the game's passed him by. Coach K, 74, you know, his best player quits in the middle of the season. They don't even make the NCAA tournament. I know COVID hit in the ACC tournament, but Duke was not making the NCAA tournament anyway. And again, when you lose the Blue Bloods, Duke, see ya. UNC, see ya. Kentucky, sayonara. Who's rising up? Where is the uprising come from? And it's clearly the Pac-12. The Big Ten was the best division in America all season. No doubt about it. They largely beat each other up. And then they get to the tournament and you just watch their style of play and you could tell 5 minutes in, okay, Iowa's in some trouble against Oregon. Oregon's got dominant guys on the wing. They're way more athletic. They're much faster. And it was a bloodbath. And then you watch Maryland, a solid team, pretty good team in the Big Ten. They go out and what happens against Alabama? Alabama's just raining threes. They were like Steph Curry out there. They had like five Steph Currys. It's just an SEC team, super fast, dynamic on the wings. The guards, Maryland couldn't stay in front of their guards. And you're just seeing this change. And you know everything is cyclical in life, okay? The Blue Bloods have been on top for a long time. It feels like Coach K and Duke are at a crossroads. How much longer does he hang around? This is a guy who in 2016 with Brandon Ingram lost in the Sweet 16. 2017 with Jason Tatum and six other future NBA players. Luke Kennard, Grayson Allen. Again, Jason Tatum. He's like one of the 12 best players in the NBA right now. Coach K couldn't get out of the second round. 2018. Coach K, another stacked roster. Marvin Bagley. Gary Trent, who's in Portland, having a really good season. Wendell Carter, who was a lottery pick. Coach K loses in the regional final. 2019, with Zion freaking Williamson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, they lose in the regional final to Michigan State. And they missed the tournament this year. Listen, I'm not saying they're done, it's over. But it feels like the Blue Bloods are at a crossroads. North Carolina, Roy's had a great run. Duke, Coach K is arguably the most accomplished college basketball coach in the history of the sport after Wooden. Like, is it time? Are we close to seeing those guys move on? And it's time to bring in some new blood. Because it's clear the Pac-12 has some of the best young coaches in America. Look, Mick Cronin was at Cincinnati. Look what he's doing at UCLA, man. They lose their best player, and they're in the Sweet 16. Look at Oregon. Dana Altman, one of the best coaches, one of the best young coaches right now in college basketball. Dana Altman's, oh, crushing it. Oregon's a legit Final Four team. Andy Enfield, 10-0 against the spread. This is a guy who took Florida Gulf Coast and made a run. Now he's doing it with at USC. Like, you can almost see a changing of the guard, and I've largely left Kentucky out of this because I don't know what's going to happen with Kentucky and the one-and-dones. And this is kind of a complicated issue because Kentucky has dominated the one-and-done guys. Coach K has dipped into that as well. But when you look at Calipari, what's going to happen with this one-and-done situation? The two of the best players in the country in high school decided to go to the G League. The year before, two of the best players in the country, LaMelo Ball and RJ Hampton, went down to the NBL in Australia. Of course, disclosure, I am a minority owner of a team in the NBL. And that division is attractive. They've got a potential lottery pick right now on a team down there. Nice wing player from Australia. Like, these European leagues can pay players. The players can get sneaker contracts. There are more avenues. Like, what's going to happen when the elite one-and-dones? Like, yeah, Cade Cunningham's going to go to Oklahoma State when they hire his brother, right? And you're going to get some other, like Evan Mobley at USC, his dad hired on the staff. Him and his brother end up at USC. Like, Kentucky may have to make some tweaks. I don't know what's in store for Kentucky as these one-and-done players kind of make these moves. And maybe they have to pivot. And they're at a crossroads as well. We will see. Remember, Johnny Juzang, the UCLA scoring machine, went to Kentucky. Like, didn't like it, didn't really do any damage. Goes to UCLA. He's in the Sweet 16. So, I'm not being overly critical. These are facts. The Blue Bloods, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Duke are at a crossroads. And you look at what's happening in the Pac-12. I mean, Oregon State's on a very nice run. Colorado did get smashed there by Florida State. Florida State's a very good team. By the way, Florida State's on the come up. Leonard Hamilton, an older gentleman, doing real good things. This could be the year he finally breaks through and gets to the Final Four. But overall, That would be my big takeaway from the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. It feels like a changing of the guard is in order. You don't see Kansas take 34-point L's. Okay? Kansas, by the way, the third seed. USC was the sixth seed. The big tell there was USC was favored. That's very rare when that happens. So I'm not going to break down every other game that happened. There was a lot of blowouts, okay? And I don't think blowouts are super interesting. My overall takeaway outside of the Blue Bloods would be that the kid at Loyola, Porter Moser, the coach there, he is going to be able to pick any job he wants at this point, right? He is doing incredible stuff at Loyola. They are, by the way, favored significantly against Oregon State. I think the line is 6.5. And when you see a big number like that for Loyola, and Loyola, he already took them to a Final Four. This has shades of what Shaka Smart did at VCU. This has shades of what Brad Stevens did at Butler. Like, you do this, you basically stamp yourself as, holy cow, this guy's an incredible coach. And I'm super impressed with what's going on at Loyola. They, honestly, folks, they're a legit Final Four opportunity for them. I really think they can get there. So that kind of wraps up opening weekend. Rob G, I am curious. I know you're not the biggest college basketball fan, but did like a Monday full of games after a weekend full of games appeal to you at all, or were you more into the NBA aspect?
No, I mean, like you said, the games weren't good. That was part of the problem. Yes. I mean, unlike some of the other parts over the weekend, because I was, you know, doing other things, Monday I actually didn't have a lot to do at all. So I had the games on pretty much all day. Problem was, none of the games were entertaining, you know, a lot of blowouts. But my biggest takeaway, I mean, other than the fact that this is the year of the quote unquote upset, which, as we mentioned on yesterday's pod, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing for college basketball.
Yeah.
I think that, having blue bloods or name brands in the Final Four or deeper into the tournament is probably preferable. But my biggest takeaway is what I saw last night. I mean, if Evan Mobley is not the number one draft pick, then I don't know what the NBA scouts are looking at. Because Cade Cunningham, even though, you know, he didn't play well in the tournament, that shouldn't be the reason why he wouldn't go number one. He just doesn't have the explosion, I think, that I would want from a number one overall draft pick. If I'm going to get a big guard or a wing, I want him to have kind of that elite first step that he can get to a spot anytime he wants to. Because other than Luka Doncic, I don't know who in the NBA can play at that kind of a pace.
Yeah.
and still be effective. Evan Mobley looks to me like, what was it, the Porzingis unicorn comparison, where it's like, hey, when you get a guy who's that big and that skilled, they just don't grow on trees.
Yeah, and Mobley, it looks like 10, 13, 5 assists, 3 blocks. He was everywhere. His brother, not his twin brother, hit 4 threes, which I didn't see coming. I'm kind of with you on that. Now, Cade Cunningham's a big-time playmaker. And again, he's playing with a bunch of Oklahoma State guys who, you know, upon graduation are probably going to be, you know, selling insurance or, you know, working some you know, white-collar job somewhere. I don't think a lot of them are going to be playing in the NBA, perhaps on international ball. And you could argue the same probably for Evan Mobley and his teammates. Yeah, it's a tough one. I know you're out on Cade Cunningham. That's very clear. based on Monday's podcast, a lot of people are like, dang, Rob G, what did Cade Cunningham do to him? And like, listen, this is the big stage. He didn't really show up, right?
Right.
You know, yeah, it happens.
And again, I don't mean to bash him. Like, I still think he's going to be fine in the NBA. I don't think that's not what I'm trying to say at all. It's just, you know, if you're going to be the number one guy, you better have something that's elite. Yeah. That makes you want to go. Like, even Anthony Edwards, like last year's draft, I don't think I would have taken him first. I think I may have said I would have rather had LaMelo Ball, because I thought he had something that you couldn't teach, and that was his passing ability. But at least you could say was that guy is just a freak athlete. Like, if we can hone in and mold this piece of clay into something, then we could have a player on our hands. And I think with Evan Mobley, with what we're seeing in the NBA now, like I know everyone says that the big man is dead in basketball and that doesn't exist anymore. But one thing that I've noticed, and I think you might have picked up on it as well, is most of the best teams or the title contenders in the last couple of seasons and this season as well have a big man or a tall big wing who can do multiple things. Like the thing that separated the Lakers from everybody else last season was Anthony Davis. It wasn't LeBron James, it was Anthony Davis. The Denver Nuggets went as far as they got because Nikola Jokic, not only could he score, but he could facilitate the offense. Kevin Durant, even though I know he's known as a small forward and a shooter, he's unique because he's 7 feet tall and he's a shooter. You know, like that's what makes him different. Joel Embiid, that's why people say that if there's anyone can knock off the Nets, it's because Joel Embiid can kill you in the middle. So if you can find that big-bodied guy who can do more than just catch lobs in today's NBA, I think that that's something that you got to jump on that as soon as you can. And I think that's going to help him in the draft.
I heard a quote that stuck with me a while back. It was, extreme people get extreme results. Anthony Edwards is not extreme. LaMelo Ball is extreme. But look at the results, the extreme results that LaMelo Ball is resulting in. Now, Cade Cunningham, is he extreme? I don't know. Evan Mobley looks a little extreme. You know, he's a seven-footer. He's a cross between, I think, Chris Bosh and Kevin Garnett. That's my read on him. And again, that's ceiling. That's like not now. Obviously, he doesn't have a Kevin Garnett, like, I'm going to cuss out anybody who's European or small. Mobley has like a good demeanor on the court. But skill set-wise, that's at least what I see. Now, Bosh, I mean, I think Bosh was putting up like 24 and 12 in Toronto. I don't know if Mobley's capable of doing that right anytime soon, but a ceiling was what I would put on that. Now, Rob, I know the wrapping up college basketball, I know Saturday, the upcoming Sweet 16 does not have any, hey, you need to stay at home and, you know, adjust your schedule to see Oregon State Loyola, Oral Roberts Arkansas, and the rock fight that will be Syracuse versus Houston. I will say this, on Sunday, there are some games. Florida State, Michigan, two big brand names, right? That's a win. UCLA, Alabama, unfortunately, that could be a beatdown, similar to when Alabama plays anybody in the Pac-12 in college football. And then I think the nightcap, Oregon, USC, I think a large portion of the West Coast will be attracted to that. I don't know about the East Coast, but I wonder if people will wake up on Sunday and be like, wait a minute, Gonzaga's playing? UCLA, Oregon, USC, all these teams west of the Mississippi, what's going on? And if it hasn't set in, it's pretty clear, guys, the blue bloods are at a crossroad. Maybe this is the springboard that the Pac-12 needs to get back to where it was that Bill Walton calls the Conference of Champions. I'm sorry, Bill Walton.
You brought up Bill Walton because he had five Pac-12 teams in the Final Four. I don't know if you saw the Dave Patrick. He had Oregon and USC, who I believe play in the same region.
Right.
He had Oregon State. He had UCLA and Colorado. And he's like, Jeez. So we have five Pac-12 teams in the Final Four and two of them are in the same region. Love. And sure enough, Bill Walton looks smarter than all of us, even with a comment like that.
Indeed. Yeah, you know, maybe I need to smoke some of whatever he's smoking, because Bill Walton's always got the best stuff. At least that's what the people say in the streets.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, let's quickly move to the NBA. A couple interesting happenings, Rob G. Starting to see here rumors that, are the Lakers going to trade for somebody? I know Colin Cowherd, my guy at FS1, starting to push that on Fox Sports Radio. I almost wonder, however, if it's not the other blue blood of the NBA, but on the East Coast, the Boston Celtics. I'm stunned, Rob. I really thought they would be taking off when Marcus Smart came back. But they can never all be healthy. Jason Tatum was out with an illness. They lose in overtime to the Grizzlies. Celtics now a game under 500. And I mean, Kemba Walker again did not play. Like, I'm starting to get worried about this team, Rob. Listen, Danny, I know people are going to want to bring heat on Brad Stevens, and you probably will too. Celtics right now, eighth in the East. That's not good. No bueno. Although, I will say this, if they play the Sixers in the first round, and everybody's healthy. We saw the Celtics take them down last year in the postseason. I could see them doing it again. I would not be afraid of the 76ers. I would be afraid of the Nets. But I do wonder if the Celtics make a move here at the deadline. A couple big names sound like they're going to hit the market, Rob. Zach LaVine, my guy, Chicago Bulls. They're the 9 seed. They can't get hot and get any traction. I'm a big Zach LaVine fan. I think he's too much of a good guy to ask out of town. But you just wonder if the Bulls say, listen, it ain't happening with LaVine. Nobody's going to want to take Kobe White and Wendell Carter. If we're going to rebuild, it's got to be shipping LaVine out of town. I think the Toronto Raptors could be a seller. 17-26. They've lost 9 straight. Now, Rob, the last time I opened my mouth and blasted the Toronto Raptors, I went viral in the state. In the country of Canada. And essentially, your boy had to turn his Instagram comments on, you have to follow me to comment, because all these Raptors fans got so angry when I said they were headed back to the basement after Kawhi left. I was just a year early. That's all it was. The Raptors right now stink. Now, they had to relocate down to Florida. Okay, that's tough due to COVID. And they're old, and they lost some talent. Serge Ibaka's gone. Marcus Gasol's gone. It's Kyle Lowry, Norm Powell, Fred VanVleet. It's pretty clear Pascal Siakam is not an alpha, not a number one. Bro, they lost to the Houston Rockets, who had lost 20 straight games. So I think Kyle Lowry hits the market. I don't know if the Clippers can afford it, but we know they need a point guard. And I think the other big name is your guy Lonzo Ball. I know Rob G was captain of the Lonzo Ball fan club when he came to the Lakers. Well, actually, Rob was captaining the fan club with Magic Johnson. And now Lonzo Ball could be on his way out of New Orleans. Third team in what, 4 years? Where are you on Lonzo right now, Rob?
Well, Lonzo Ball, I think that from everything that I've been told, he is very much on the market. And it's not that they don't think he's a good player, that he's not a good fit with their offense. It's that he wants a ton of money in free agency coming up this summer.
Well, that's because his dad, like, you know, took all his money and then bankrupted or got stolen by that big baller brand friend of theirs. So, yeah, he probably needs money. And listen, I'm sure you are too, Rob. Get that paper, Lonzo.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Get paid. Yeah. I mean, listen, these leagues, we're all one injury away from being done. So go ahead. If I'm Lonzo, take as much money as anybody will give me. If that means it's the Houston Rockets, yeah, I'm going to get paid.
Oh, yeah. And I think if you know, we live in LA, so we know all about this. But the rest of America who doesn't know, there's such thing in basketball as the clutch sports tax, which means if you are a client of Clutch Sports, the LeBron James, Rich Paul group, you're whatever you think that guy's worth, add like $3 to $5 million to it.
Oof.
And so Lonzo Ball is reportedly looking for $20+ million per season.
Oh, stop it.
And that is why the Pelicans are saying, even though he's a restricted free agent, we'd rather trade him, get something for him, than be forced to put to a decision we have to match a five-year, $100 million contract offer.
Because he wants 20, let's humor him and just quickly, I look at remember, he's a point guard. If you pay a point guard 20 mil, he's got to be starting, okay? You tell me. So if you're getting 20 mil, you're probably the number two player on a team, right?
Yes.
Not a lot of teams are paying their third best player 20 mil. Okay. So I'm just going to, well, this will be quick. It will not take long. 76ers, are they taking on Lonzo Ball at 20 mil?
No.
Are the Brooklyn Nets?
No.
Are the Milwaukee Bucks?
No.
Are the Miami Heat?
No.
Atlanta Hawks, who have Trae Young?
Yes.
Oh, stop it.
No, the reason why I say yes is because in The Athletic, which had a lot of this broken down, the Hawks were mentioned as a team that's interested in getting him.
Oh, stop. That is absolute garbage. And they won't pay John Collins.
And the reason being is because they don't think they're going to keep John Collins because they have a glut of big men all of a sudden after drafting that kid from USC. Who's their center's name?
Clint Capella's been doing well.
And DeAndre Hunter might be able to play some small ball four. So they don't really need another big man. And so their thinking, allegedly, is that they could have Lonzo be the point at certain aspects and get Trey off the ball more, which is the whole reason they brought in Rajon Rondo, was to do the kind of same kind of thing. The difference is that Lonzo Ball can shoot, unlike Rajon Rondo.
Oh, gosh. He's had one good season. Shooting in the contract year. Good luck paying that. That is insane. Well, okay,
let's go through
fine,
some of the other guys that you brought up.
Charlotte Horn. Wait, other what?
Well, there's other the names that you brought up earlier in
wait, wait. I want to get through Lonzo real quick. Okay. Charlotte Hornets, obviously not. That's a pipe dream. There's no way Jordan is doing that.
Unless you want to pair the Ball brothers. No.
Yeah, and they've already got Rozier, Graham, Malik Monk is playing well. Celtics, no. Chicago Bulls, I personally don't see it. The GM is like a European dude.
I would with them if I was them.
They have Kobe White.
Kobe White's not very good.
Whoa, he's cheaper. And what's the difference between wins between Kobe White and Lonzo Ball? Oh my gosh, you are a Lonzo fan, Rob.
No, I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's that great, but I don't think he's bad either. I think he's better on a good team than he is on a bad team.
Right, but the good teams ain't paying him 20 mil. Like, maybe what his move is take a one-year deal, go to a good team for like $10 million, win a ring or get close to it, show your value on a good team, and then somebody will pay you. Because like the Indiana Pacers have Brogdon. They're not paying him. The Raptors have Van Vliet. They're not paying him. The Cavs have all guards. Garland, Sexton. They're not paying him. The Wizards, no way. They can't afford it. They have Beal, Westbrook. No. Orlando Magic. I think they invested in Fultz, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And the Detroit Pistons are the only other option, and they're totally rebuilding. And there is no way on earth of all the players they're going to give, it's going to be Lonzo Ball. So then you go to the West. And it's like Jazz, no way. Conley, Suns, nope. Lakers, nope. Clippers, nope. Nuggets,
Clippers want him, but they don't have the assets to get him is the problem.
Yeah, I'm sure Lonzo would love to come back to L.A. Portland Trailblazers, ha. San Antonio Spurs, no way would Popovich ever take him. Dallas Mavericks, no shot. Golden State Warriors, nope.
Yes.
Memphis, what? Yes. What? Yes.
You keep saying no to these teams that are reportedly in on him. One of them is Golden State.
So Golden State did not want to draft LaMelo Ball, but they're going to trade for Lonzo?
I'm just telling you what's being reported. They're in on him because he's a ball mover, he can defend, and he's interchangeable with Steph Curry. The Steph Curry, Trae Young thing is kind of the same thing, where they're just as good, probably even better off the ball than they are on the ball. Steph Curry is not at his best.
Steph Curry, Trae Young thing, like they're grouped together.
There's levels. There's levels to this. Obviously, you know Steph is a much higher level player, but even you can admit that Steph's at his best when he's coming down pin downs and on off back screens and flaring out to the 3-point line. Not when he has to do a high pick and roll and pass it down to Draymond Green.
I guess the problem is when you have to give up assets for a guy who's going to want 20 mil and you're not paying him 20 mil next year because you got Klay coming back. And you have that Minnesota Timberwolves pick, which could be at like 4, 5, or 6 or whatever. I don't see that. So then you, by the way, Rob, we get through all these teams like the Thunder. All they're doing is stockpiling picks. They don't want to give anybody 20 mil.
And they got shit.
The Sacramento Kings have De'Aaron Fox. The Rockets are doing the same thing. They're bottoming out. And the Timberwolves have D'Angelo Russell. So I don't know who these guys are speculating about Lonzo Ball. I would say almost certainly he does not get traded. And let me just make my theory here, okay? You could laugh at me. The media is in the game of clicks. I started a website, okay? I sold said website. I know that clicks matter. At the end of the day, if the clicks aren't there, the money's not coming in. And I'm not just saying people are throwing up hypothetical Lonzo Ball trades to get clicks, but for a guy who's about to be a free agent, who has a big name and had a brand coming into the league and people are interested in him, yeah, you put Lonzo's name out there, it's going to click. Now, I'm not saying it's untoward and people are doing it maliciously, but who else is, what other players are out there? I'm guarantee you no big, like John Collins, he probably would be a bigger difference maker than Lonzo at the trade deadline. But nobody gives a shit about John Collins. Sorry, John Collins and in your family. You're a good player, but people just don't care about this guy.
I took a shit on Kate Cunningham yesterday, and you followed what you said about John Collins.
Listen, good player, but again, nobody cares. At any rate, okay, go through the other guys available. Let's see what we got.
Okay, now most of this is from The Athletic, which is headed by Shams Charania, which is the most plugged in, outside of Woj, reporter in basketball. So for you to kind of just assert that maybe he's putting in for clicks, I don't know if he's the kind of guy that I would.
Well, by the way, who represents Shams?
I don't know who it is.
Take a look into that. See if he's connected at all.
All right.
With a certain agency that's connected with Maverick Carter's group.
There are two big names that seem like they could be on the move. And one of them, I'm glad that you brought it up right in the beginning of this little segment, is the Boston Celtics. And Sam Amick was part of a group that wrote this, that Aaron Gordon wants out of Orlando, not just because they're losing, but because he wants to go to a bigger market.
Who doesn't?
He thinks that his Q rating in Orlando is suffering. So he wants a large market with plenty of quote-unquote branding opportunities.
Yeah, and, by the way, timeout. Who was the guy we talked about yesterday? PJ Washington. Who's this woman he's dating that's a major celebrity?
Brittany Renner.
Right. Aaron Gordon wants to go to a big market and start to date a celebrity like Brittany Renner or like Tyler Hero with his Instagram model. Yeah, Aaron Gordon is ready to level up, get paid. I'll tell you what right now though, on the real. Aaron Gordon could help somebody win a title this year more than Lonzo Ball could.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's a better
player.
He's
a great wing defender. Those are tough to come by. And I mean, hell, if I'm the Celtics, damn. Celtics linked to Aaron Gordon?
Yes, and according to the report, it's not just Aaron Gordon. It would be Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier. And Evan Fournier can shoot. Say what you will about the rest of his game, but he can shoot.
Now, who are you giving up, though?
It's their trade exception and Marcus Smart.
Ooh.
So, but if you're Boston, and you just mentioned it right at the top, they're struggling, to say the least. So they need some kind of shakeup. And if you can get Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier with only having to really give up Marcus Smart and some picks, because the trade exception doesn't really even count as anything.
You know, somebody wrote this recently, and we didn't make it a topic on here because I think it was right before the NCAA tournament, but somebody wrote an article about how there's two distinct classes in the NBA now. And I mean, on the surface, trading Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier for money and Marcus Smart, like what the hell is that? That's basically, we don't want to end up paying the luxury tax. So us billionaire owners, we're going to pocket the money. You know, that's basically what they're saying. Hey, Aaron Gordon, you had a good run. Thanks for your service, but good luck. Right? I mean, what are they doing with that? Do you think Marcus Smart's going to be happy going from contending? What did Marcus Smart play in? 3 of 4 years they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals. And now he's going to go to a bottom feeder in Orlando? Like, that would be awful if I'm Marcus Smart. That being said, holy hell. You're looking at Aaron Gordon, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, and I guess Fournier.
As a small ball
lineup. Or Robert Williams,
that
maybe.
That maps up really good against Brooklyn.
Maps up good against Brooklyn.
Terribly against Philadelphia.
Well, you put in Daniel Theis or Robert Williams, who's actually playing well. We picked him up on our fantasy team. I know you don't care about that, but... that's a home run if I'm the Celtics. I mean, Marcus Smart, though, is the heart and soul of that locker room. I don't know who the leader is. Now, that locker room gets interesting because they've gone through some leaders, right? Isaiah Thomas, shipped. Kyrie Irving was thought to be the heart and soul when he got traded there. He was the leader. Ran into problems with the young guys. Marcus Smart now, he's been there for a while. Sounds like it's difficult. And it's tough to quantify what that means. But that's a spicy deal, Rob G. All right, Aaron Gordon, what else you got?
Well, the other big one, and I think this would be the most impactful move if they can make it, is Kyle Lowry. And according to what's being reported, it's basically up to him if he wants to get traded or not. You know, because he's loyal to the soil in Toronto. He's already come out and said, even if I get traded, I'm going to retire as a Raptor. Like he's one of those kind of guys. Mm. And so the two teams that are reportedly most interested in him are the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, I already have the Brooklyn Nets winning the Eastern Conference. I just think that they are the best team. But if there was ever a team that I think, if you add Kyle Lowry to what they already have, that could almost tilt the balance of power. I think if Philadelphia can get Kyle Lowry with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and keeping Seth Curry, I think that he's the kind of guy that would balance out their roster and give them exactly what they do not have, which is a floor general and someone who can make heady plays. He's a much more consistent shooter than Danny Green. I think Danny Green's probably has a better clip because he's so streaky. But Kyle Lowry could be the kind of guy, if he goes to Philadelphia, that is the most impactful trading at the deadline.
Well, I'm just glad you didn't say the Clippers, because Kyle Lowry, who, by the way, has had a more than a handful of dirty fouls in the last couple of years. Remember the bubble? He told Aaron Gordon after a cheap shot when Aaron Gordon's like, what the F, blah, 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 trying to fight him. Kyle Lowry said his room number. You could see the audio. He's like, yeah, come to my room. Come on. Kyle Lowry goes to the Clippers. They're as dirty as the 80s Bad Boy Pistons. Kyle Lowry, the Morris twin goon, Patrick Beverley. Oh, goodness. That would have been, listen, that would have been ugly for the Lakers if they could get Kyle Lowry. But yeah, I would agree with you. If he goes to the Sixers, Simmons, Embiid, yeah, that's a nice package. Now, Miami Heat, I'm not coming off Tyler Hero or for Kyle Lowry. I'm just not doing that. Miami Heat have quietly crept up to fourth in the East. And let's check in on Tyler Hero. He's having an all right season, 15 a game, 5 boards, 3 assists. He's struggling shooting, 41%, 31 from 3. A bit of a sophomore slump, perhaps. Duncan Robinson, also not even hitting 40% from deep.
Well, the Heat are in a tough position because their three young guys are all going to have to get paid. That's Hero, that's Nunn, that's Duncan Robinson.
Okay, hold up.
Go ahead.
Bam Adebayo, or did he already get paid?
He already got paid. Okay. He already signed his supermax, or his max.
You can't keep Nunn, Robinson, and Hero.
Exactly. That's why you need to consolidate them at some point. Now, I'm not saying to consolidate them for Kyle Lowry, or especially a 1 year at a 30-plus age Kyle Lowry, but at some point, you got to make a decision, because what Joe Harris did as being a guy who does nothing but shoot three-pointers, which is exactly what Duncan Robinson did, and I think he's getting $16 or $18 million a year. So that very quickly goes from Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, and Kendrick Nunn all making combined $15 million to these guys are making combined $60 million. And they're good, but they're not that good. So they got to find a way at some point to flip at least one of them into something else.
I mean, I guess if I had to, I mean, Tyler Hero could get you the most in return, but he would also be the biggest loss, because I don't know about you. I think Tyler Hero, one day, I'm not saying he could lead the league in scoring like Bradley Beal, but what he's been doing at 20 years old, 20, I think he's 21 this year, like, who's to say? And Rob, we talk about this, and we probably don't talk about it enough. The idea that players get better. Okay, Kawhi Leonard was like coming off the bench in San Antonio. He was like a sixth man and emerged as an all-NBA player, a finals MVP, a cornerstone. James Harden came into the league. Oh, he's a sixth man. He's a nice player. Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's a historically great offensive player. Like, everybody gets better. The question is, how much better? And nobody knows the answer. Only the people inside the Miami Heat building know Tyler Hero's work ethic. How bad does he want it? Listen, James Harden was a legendary party animal in Houston. And he still got better and got buckets and became an incredible MVP player. So, I don't know. I mean, you look at Hero, you look at Nunn, Duncan Robinson. I personally think it's easier to find a Duncan Robinson or a Kendrick Nunn than a Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero can create his own shot. I mean, we saw Tyler Hero give a lot. Didn't he have 40 in a playoff game? I mean, this guy was incredible. And I watched Buddy Boeheim of Syracuse in this tournament. He's like a Duncan Robinson clone. 6'7", slender white guy, quick release. We had Casey Jacobson on the podcast last week, who, you know, would be making millions of dollars if he were in the NBA now, as opposed to when he left Stanford 20 years ago. But yeah, like, Buddy Boeheim is the new Duncan Robinson. There's no new Tyler Hero. I don't want to say he's a unicorn. I'm not going that far, like a Luka Doncic, but Tyler Hero, I'm not trading him. I'm sorry. I'm not putting him in any package for almost anybody at this point. I mean, within reason. Are the Lakers making a move, Rob G?
Oh, it depends. I mean, the bronze injury kind of complicates things, you know, because they need to stay above water a little bit. You know, they can't go 2-13 in the games that he's out. So, the problem is they don't really have the assets. So unless they're going to trade Talen Horton Tucker, which, again, clutch sports guy, so you know, you got to run that by LeBron first. And if LeBron decides he doesn't want to trade him.
He's untouchable. I'm being honest. I don't think they would trade him for anything.
I think that the only guys on their roster that have any kind of value would be maybe Kyle Kuzma, but he has that poison pill because he just signed his contract. Alex Caruso. I don't think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has played well enough to have any value. You'd have to actually attach more stuff to him just to get rid of him. So I think they're more likely to be active on the buyout market than they are to make a trade. I just don't think they have the pieces.
All right. Well, that does it for today's show. A lot of college basketball. I don't have any Sweet 16 picks for you just yet. I'm going to let some of these numbers marinate. Obviously, when is the NBA trade deadline, Rob?
Thursday.
Okay,
noon,
so
I think it's at noon Eastern or noon Pacific.
Yeah, we will. We'll try to line up some good guests to talk maybe a little more NCAA tournament, but certainly NBA. We still haven't done a postmortem on NFL free agency yet, but that's coming. In the meantime, stay safe, people. We'll talk to you soon.